from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are Live from the Path.
You're listening to Live from the Path, coming at you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's good to fake see you.
I feel like our relationship is one-sided.
You're creeping, because you're looking at me and I can't see you. What, Dan?
I feel them watching me.
We're not going to put up with that today, Dan.
Yeah, that's gross. All right, listen, you're listening live from the Path. It's good to have you here. A big show tonight. I mean, a big one.
It's bigger than you should
expect. Not in volume, really, but more of in size. Like, I'm using it incorrectly, but it's a tall order,
like
this show tonight.
Like a capacity measurement.
That's what it is. That's what it is. So Now Serving 7 is in the studio. We heard them practicing, or warming up.
Yeah.
Probably not practicing. That put that wrong, right? Practicing doesn't sound right.
We heard them rocking earlier. Rephrase.
Practice was a long time ago.
We're going to hear from them. Lots of cool stuff going on in their lives. I'm excited for the music and some of the stories that come with it. So we'll get to know them just a little bit, and that'll be exciting. Also, we're going to do – so here's the deal. We're walking through the 50 proofs from GodIsImaginary.com.
Yeah.
That he has provided that he says show that God is imaginary. God was 50-0, but I found there's three bonus on the website.
Here's the thing. He rounded out the website and said, here's the 50 reasons God's not real. And then he thought, wait, I thought of another one.
Yeah.
And then he wrote three more.
Go
ahead, Dan.
I'm going to say the funny thing is the 50 could be narrowed down to like three.
Yeah, he doesn't like – he's not much for prayer, and he's not for much for the Bible. And then Jesus. Those are his three heavy hitters.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just rephrases them several times. 50.
So anyway, we're going to walk through – we got three bonus. So we're going to go through the next one, which is proof number 51. This week is Think About God and Baal. This is going to be his proof that God's imaginary. We'll walk through that.
Wait a minute. Baal like out of jail or Baal like the other God?
Yeah.
Or the phony.
The other guy, yeah.
The phony.
Baal the other man.
Okay, I'm with you.
So anyway, we'll go through that one. That's proof number 51. We'll hit that, and we'll see how that goes. Also, Mike's got some Pope-style advice. And if you remember, the premise here is if someone who were to mistake you for the Pope and a big group of people were standing on your lawn and they refused to leave until you came out and did the wave and gave some sort of, you know, knowledge from your life advice that they would help them to move about their day in a positive Jesus manner.
I always meant to ask you this. Are they grumbly or are they just kind of – like, are they expectant? You know, like, hey, I can't wait till he comes out. Or are they starting to get dissatisfied with the amount of time I've taken to kind of come out?
No, they're good. They're well watered. The weather's nice. They just need some worldly guidance.
Okay,
I think a lot of it depends on which hat you're wearing.
You don't get a hat. I mean, they're way mistaken.
They really made a bad move here.
And so comes the disappointment.
Let's go to that 2-bedroom ranch. Maybe the Pope's in there. Come out, Pontiff. Speak to me.
So Mike's got some Pope style advice, and then we also got some more advice on Dear Life from the Path. People, people need help, Mike.
Hold on. Now,
there's trouble in the world.
I've scanned the preliminary questions. There's a lot of etiquette problems, and we run into this a lot with the Dear Life from the Past. But there's a lot of etiquette issues where people just socially they know something's wrong, but they don't know how to react to it, and that. They just can't quite figure out what to do, what to say. And so, obviously, I mean, we're for the people, by the people. I feel like we could straighten this out.
Fortunately, we have been schooled in etiquette.
There's nothing that we have that's considered more of a possession than our rules of etiquette.
Yeah.
Dan crawled under the table earlier.
I did it quite well.
I feel like that's top-notch. And
it was graceful.
As far as I've heard, Now Serving 7 is going to weigh in on some of these topics, kind of straighten this out.
Okay, that's good news.
Is there any truth to that?
You know it.
Yeah, see?
Okay. All right. So anyway, that's what's going on. Hey, by the way, Life from the Path is brought to you by the Eisenlauer team. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com, and Bob and Bill Eisenlauer can help you, sell a house, buy a house. They do general realtor stuff.
Anything to do with houses, really.
Yeah, whatever. You want someone to come take a look at it and give you a thumbs up because they love your place. It's going to cost you a few bucks, but I bet they'll come out and do that.
They're selling a house in my neighborhood right now.
Oh, really? Is it sold?
I can't answer that.
Okay, Dan, here's the deal. That would have been a great anecdote if it would have been sold.
You know, there's a line around the corner of people wanting to see it.
So there's a lot of people. I feel like there's a bid war happening.
All right, so anyway, that's what's going on tonight. And I tell you what, let's get to know Now Serving 7. Snuggle up to that mic there, Charlie. Tell me a little bit about who you guys are.
Well, we're a band. What? Yeah, surprise.
Wait a minute. Your booking agent's in big trouble. I booked a puppet act.
Yeah. So we're self-described as electroacoustic rock band with a mission. Laughter? Okay. So
it's going to be a rough night.
So we're just a band. We come out of the local church. We're from Pella area, and we love music. We love worship music. We love rock music. We even like a little jazz every now and then, except for Bob. He doesn't like it so much. But our call is just to play music with a message. I don't think it's anything extraordinary. It is what it is. I mean, we feel like this is what we're supposed to do.
That's not how we're going to tell it. I'm going to clap like it was Led Zeppelin in here, bringing back the 80s.
We can get heavy if you want.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ben. Continue the interview. I'm just going to interject slightly every once in a while. I'm the color man.
So how did you guys get together as a band? Like, how did you come together?
In the two-minute version? Okay, so... It's funny because Bob.
Hey, hold on a second. I like these options. I like most people don't give me options, right? They're going to blather on for however long it is. I like the Charlie gives me options.
Here's
like,
the deal. My old man said when I was born. I'm sorry. Continue
yeah,
on.
2 minute version. I love it. Go ahead.
Well, I've been around pastors all my life. I know people want them to be short. That's sweet. So, well, anyway, so Martha's my wife, and so you know we got married, and then. That pretty much
that saved us. A lot of conversations, eh? You know,
yeah. So she's part of the band, and Bob and I met actually in a business thing like 7-8 years ago. The story is long and crazy and humorous and unbelievable, but we didn't know really each other was a very good player or even a player at all, and we just sort of heard these rumors. But one day we finally got together when I was actually recording Bob's old band in my basement recording studio, and then when he was on his way out, he said, "So let me hear some of your stuff." And I played him one of the tunes that we're actually going to play tonight, "The World Will Never Know." And he just was like, "Man, I'll quit this band and join your band right now if
wow.
you want me to."
Boy, Bob is shifty. He's out. That's it. No more discussion needed.
No one's ever said that to me as I played my stuff.
You know what? You should keep your own band.
Keep that in the garage.
Hey man, now you know Bob has a wandering eye. That's right. Somebody else good comes along, he's gone.
That's right. Hey, Bob's talking to David Crowder. Get him out of there.
Hey, actually, I did talk to
him. Here's the deal. Crowder called me yesterday. In fact, I got to go.
Said, I want my shoehorn back.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm kind of interested in this business venture. For some reason, I see you guys going 50-50 on a Payless shoes franchise.
Oh, it's much worse than that. I was in the insulation business. It was a crazy spray.
You're darn right you were.
Yeah. And he was in an energy efficiency business. And we got hooked up because... he had a little mold in his basement, and he called us to see if we could help him out.
If we could cover it up with insulation?
They'll never see it.
Isn't that the way the pros do it? So,
I got an inspection coming up. You got to cover that jazz up.
Yeah, so anyway, it has nothing to do with music and really nothing to do with anything productive. And we soon realized that neither of us were any good at what we were doing and that music was maybe a better venture for us. And so... I mean, that's really how we met. But 7 years later, we actually heard each other play and heard each other's stuff and thought, man, this could work.
Yeah.
How did Matt get taken into this operation?
He can't speak for himself. You only got to speak on his behalf. Yeah.
Okay, I'll speak on Matt's behalf. So Matt grew up in the church that I led worship in. And as I got off of college, there he is. That's the beard side of the band. And this is the almost not beard side of the band. But
and
anyway,
that's true. It gets progressively lower as it goes around.
That is,
with Martha having no beard. Kudos
praise
to you.
God, that one. All right. Yeah. So anyway, Matt grew up in our church. And when I was out of college and leading worship at the church, we used to invite him up, and I won't tell you what grade he was in because then that will date me just a bit, but he used to come up and play like little percussion instruments and stuff, and that spawned Matt's music career. And now he's a worship pastor just like me. He's like mini-me, but he's big and beardy.
Wow. No aspirations to be in the insulation business, though. That's too bad. You can't climb the same ladder.
Only with his beard.
let's see. I filled out a survey in high school, and I want to be poor and itchy. I have just the job for you.
What do you got for me?
A musician with a rash or insulation.
Do you have an old bread truck I can use?
Here's the deal. Let's hear about the tunes. Tell me about Great and Glorious.
Great and Glorious, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I wrote it as a worship song. I thought maybe we'd use it in church. But instead, it just ended up being this song that people really connected with. And it's, I mean, God's great and glorious. I mean, I saw that, read that in scripture, and it's like the only in one place. And I couldn't even tell you where it is. So maybe some of your listeners can get us on Facebook and tell me where it is. But anyway, it just, that always struck me, great and glorious. And there's not much more you can say about it. And so this song's great and glorious.
Cool. Well, you're listening to Live from the Path. This is Now Serving Seven with Great and Glorious.
Yourself in light, yeah. Awake our souls to love the great and glorious one, our Savior King. And as we lift our eyes, hear our praises rise, a holy cry, we shout, we sing, whoa. Son, your mercy always comes to wash away our stains. So take my everything, let this song I sing be all for you, my God, my King. Whoa. You
Great.
I like that.
Thank you.
That thing had some spunk to it, man. I tried to sing at the end, but I was afraid I was going to sing too loud, so I acted like I was whispering something to Dan. That's catchy.
That's smooth. Yeah. Okay, so they can pick that up on the – that's on the CD, right?
That's on the CD, yeah.
Okay, so tell them where they can get the CD.
You can get the CD on iTunes, on Amazon. You can get the CD on Spotify, and you can get the CD on Google Play. Yes. You can get it at the local book Christian bookstore in Pella, which is called The Sanctuary. You know, you can call me up and you can drive to my house, and I'll give it to you if you want.
Okay. That seems pretty all right. Where do you?
What are the hours? I mean, like before 7, cool?
Well, yeah.
I'm an early riser.
You can get it from my kid. He'll give it to you.
Yeah, that's sweet.
He's up early.
There's a strange man at the door.
You want the Cocoa Puffs or the CD? Well, let me try the Cocoa Puff first.
Hey, we're full service. You can get breakfast if you want.
All right, you're listening live from The Path. That was Now Serving 7. Hey, you can find out more about them by going nowserving7.com. That's 7, is it numeral?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a numeral. Okay.
Numeral.
Okay, so that's nowservingnumeral7.com.
We like them. You can also get hold of them on the Facebook, right? And Life from the Path likes them. So if you go to the Life from the Path Facebook page, you like what we like, and we like Now Serving 7. So go check that out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So I got a question for you guys.
Yes.
Okay, have you ever been to a concert? I saw you guys in concert a few weeks ago, months ago, whenever it was. And have you ever had one of those moments you're in a concert and like a particular lyric just smacks you? Am I supposed to follow this over?
Yep. Good call.
Just smacks you, you know, and you're just like, whoa. And, like, anyway, this happened. And I'm leaving. I'm talking to my daughter because she went with me. And I'm like, okay, which one of you guys sung the song? Was it you guys or was it John Mark McMillan? And I spent the next, like, 3 weeks Googling. I can't find the song anywhere. And I can't tell you. But I know the lyric was something to the effect. I've already forgotten the lyric. That's how good I am. Something to the effect of, like, eternity doesn't begin, like, when you breathe your last breath, but it begins some, like when you believe or some. Does that ring a bell at all to you guys?
It sounds like heaven.
Because it was like
not our song, but
right? Oh, okay, so did you guys? Because you guys sang some cover songs too, didn't you?
We sang a couple cover songs. I think we did a Gunger song, "Beautiful Things."
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then
that's what I thought. I recognize some Gunger in there.
Yeah, we did "The Home" by Philip Phillips too.
Yeah, it's just been bothering me. I thought this is the perfect opportunity to ask.
Well, just go buy the CD and listen to it. It'll come to you.
It's the perfect opportunity to ask.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I was also wondering, what did you have for supper last night?
I don't know, but we're thinking about Bandit Burrito tonight.
A question from Dan about a show he was the only guy at. Thanks, Dan.
But if
it was an intimate affair.
It was a great lyric.
I think we can all agree on that, Dan.
All right. You're listening live from The Path. Here's the deal. We're on godsimaginary.com. Here's proof number 51. Here's the salvo. Think about God and Baal. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 18, there's a fascinating story about God and Elijah. In this story, we have Elijah as a prophet of the Lord, meeting with Ahab, a powerful king. Obadiah is a messenger, and the story starts out like this. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." So this is a fascinating situation. Ahab and his people have started following a god named Baal instead of Elijah's god. So Elijah sets up a challenge. Elijah said to him, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bowls for us. Let them choose one for themselves." Let me fast forward ahead on the story of Baal. So basically, they're supposed to rain fire and consume the offering. Baal obviously can't do it. God does. There's lots of troubles that follow from that for the prophets of Baal. Okay? Fair enough. Story of Baal. So here it says, what we see here is fascinating. The Bible is laying down the criteria for proving that a god is real and then demonstrating the punishment for those who teach about false gods. And the criteria is very simple. The god in question has to prove its existence through demonstrable actions in our world. The reason that Ahab's people were supposed to believe in God rather than Baal is because, on command, God proved his existence. Baal, being imaginary, did nothing. The fact that Baal did nothing proves that he is imaginary. What should we do today when, upon calling on God to show himself, nothing ever happens? As we saw in previous proofs, praying to God has absolutely no effect. asking God to display any sort of supernatural force in public, like, say, lighting a fire, has absolutely no effect. God has absolutely no effect in our world today. What we should do is exactly what the people in the Bible did with Baal. The lack of any evidence for God's existence should lead us to the obvious conclusion that God is imaginary, just like Baal is imaginary. Understanding that God is imaginary, should we slaughter all of God's false prophets like they did in the Bible? Should we kill the Pope along with all priests, ministers, pastors, imams, and rabbis? No, that would be barbaric and inhuman. Any rational person knows that, unlike the inhuman barbarians depicted in the Bible. God is imaginary just like Baal. That is proven to us every day by God's complete and total failure to do anything in our world. That's proof number 51, that God is imaginary. What say you?
I feel like he doesn't know anybody that really knows Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen – here's what he's looking for is a fire from the sky or a mountain moved. And, like, sometimes I think it's much harder to watch a person give up themselves and live a different life. You know what I'm saying? I've seen God do that a lot. I've seen the power of Jesus Christ do that a lot. Is the mountain really necessary? No, because I know there's people that I've been praying for 10 years. That have out of nowhere decided they were going to devote their lives to Christ, and they've had enough with living the way they were living. And, like, I don't know that I would be as much impressed with the mountain as I am watching someone I love decide to get in, you know, relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, like, I kind of get what he's saying. He's looking for some kind of physical attributes of God, right? But, like, the changing of people is pretty darn amazing, right? There's not a whole lot that I can do to change people's minds sometimes, and I can watch God take their entire life and 180 it and turn it around a different direction. I don't know. I find that to be pretty powerful.
Yeah. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Well, he has some honest questions there. But he doesn't understand the story, though, the context of it. This was God's idea, all right? The prophet's doing what God told him to do. It wasn't the prophet going, "Hey, let's just see if my God's real and if the Baal's not." You know, I mean, it was a God-ordained thing. So for us to take that and say, "I can call down fire any day I want if I just want to prove God," it's a whole different thing. If God tells me to do that, well, then sure, I'll do it. But it's not for me to try to, you know, make God prove himself. We've kind of covered this in previous proofs that he has had, you know. But at least this one sounds legitimate. I mean, I can see where he's coming from. He's incorrect, but it doesn't disprove that God exists. It just proves that he hasn't found the evidence he's looking for, and he won't if he's looking for some, you know, big movement for to God to prove himself to him. He's God. He doesn't have to prove himself.
Charlie, Bob, anything? Any thoughts on that?
I think I find it interesting when people like to take one little excerpt from Scripture and apply it, because the Scripture also says his ways are not our ways. Mm-hmm. And so we want the God that we want. And so this guy wants a God that he can physically grab onto and touch and hold and feel and see whatever he wants to see. I mean, that's the problem with idolatry or just wanting stuff that you can't have. And I think that's not the way God works. He reveals to whom he wants to reveal. He takes from who he wants to take. He gives to whom he wants to give. And so I will give number 51 a shot from my own life. And so just a quick testimony here. Is that cool? Can I bring that
up? Sure.
So quick testimony. I'm in this business, right? And I know God's got this call in my heart, and I'm having a real hard time being obedient to that call and letting go of the things that I'm holding on so dearly. And then literally, we're going to talk about fire. Half of my face got burned off, and I had third-degree burns on half my face. They rushed me to Iowa City to the burn unit. I'm in the hospital there, and they're, you know, doing whatever they have to do to you. And they finally, you know, after, you know, a day or whatever, they send me home and they say, "We're going to have you back in 2 weeks so that we can continue to, you know, to give you therapy," whatever. Well, in 3 days, my face was completely healed. And there were enormous amount of people praying for me. Now, you could think, well, that's, you're a good healer, man. Way to go. Good for you. You just got some good genes. Mm-hmm. Well, I went up back to the doctors at Iowa City, and previously I left this out, but they said, "It's probably going to take you 2 to 4 months to recover, and you probably, because you have third-degree burns, you're going to end up with considerable amount of scarring, especially around your eye and your ear. Now, can you guys see considerable amount of scarring on this half of my face versus just the normal ugliness of the other side?
No.
No, no. It's universal.
I say they're equally ugly.
Yeah. Right. I appreciate that, the honesty. Just don't tell Martha. But anyway, so I go to the doctors, and I walk in, and they're like, you look pretty good. I don't know what we're going to do, so I guess you can go home and, you know, call us if you need us. I mean, to me, that's kind of miraculous, and that's kind of seeing the hand of God at work. And you can call it whatever you want, but in the end, we all have to choose by faith what we're going to believe. And I happen to believe in that moment that God was good, and he reached down and with his hand did something cool in my life.
Yeah, and I think if you look at if you look at what he's presented, he's it's inconsistent, right? Like if you're going to use the Bible as the baseline as far as how God reveals himself, he doesn't reveal himself to everybody in the Bible, right? So from a consistency standpoint, you can't say this is how God demonstrates he is real to people, because he did that in a few select situations. But there were certainly people that believed that did not see. And he covered this last week a little bit when, you know, we were talking about when Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and don't see. And so that's actually an inconsistent use of the Bible as the proof. It also is a little bit we've run into this issue with him a little bit before, which is he very much thinks in a box. Shouldn't the story that he told – doesn't that make it proof enough? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you believe that story to begin with, why do you need to see anything else? And the thing is, he set a moving standard that God – well, it's not that God couldn't meet but won't meet, will choose not to, because it's a I'm the king, you show me who you are, not you're the king, I'll believe who you are.
Right. He walks a real thin line between God is imaginary and God is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like – if this is fact, let's call this fact, that behavior is absurd. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to characterize God as absurd, that's altogether different than imaginary, right? That's,
right.
That you're calling something between being real and being not real, and now you just don't agree with him. And that's kind of where his standpoint generally falls in, is like, the examples he usually gives is of God, and he doesn't agree with it, or most rational people obviously know better than what God has done, you know, and so he's generally saying he doesn't agree with God. God is absurd, not so much that he's imaginary.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway, I guess if coming from a standpoint of, you know, this is kind of a proof text as to why God is not real, it doesn't really pass a logical test if you're using the Bible as the foundation, nor does it pass a consistency test as far as inferring the thing that he thinks now applies to something that has already happened. Because really, if you're going to accept the Bible as fact, God has revealed himself already. Right? To many, many people. And all you're saying is I have to be treated differently. I see that this happened. I believe that it's true. Well, if you believe that it's true, you shouldn't have to see it again. And so, like, that's the barrier. You're asking God to prove himself to you. And it's, like I said, it's a little boisterous to walk into the throne room and say, I know people call you the king, but, like, show me that you're the king.
Do something kingly.
Yeah.
I've come to see.
where's the scepter?
Right.
So, anyway, that was proof. Any other thoughts on that one? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that had elements of stuff that I think we'd seen before. I'm not sure that was like a bonus.
It was the tail end of the Old Testament, though. He doesn't live there much. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't usually get much past the beginning of the Old Testament, beginning of the New. So I feel like he's branched out to try to get more evidence.
I think it was a casserole of previous proofs that he kind of threw together at the end of the week, baked up, and served as 51.
Shook it and put breadcrumbs in it, served it to everybody.
It's good. All right, here we go. So that was proof 51. I'll give you the opening salvo for what we're doing next week, which is proof number 52. Uh-oh, Dan. Proof number 52, watch your minister, pastor, or priest. The Bible offers several different ways to tell if someone is behaving in a Christian way. Is your minister, pastor, or priest following the Bible's prescriptions? Here are four of the most important, and I'll just give you the four. One, Christians keep quiet. Two, Christians keep quiet. Two, three, Christians do not have wealth. Four, Christians can demonstrate that they are Christians. So anyway, those are his proofs.
Wait, one and two were the same?
Yeah. They're two verses.
Something about wealth?
No, the Christians keep quiet.
I've got the no wealth thing down pretty well.
Yeah. Been working on that one my whole life, and I am awesome.
thank you, Jesus, for the straight and narrow path.
we'll hit that next week. Hey. Here's the deal. We bother going through this because these could be legitimate barriers for folk, and we should be able to give a proof of what we believe. So if you go to godisimaginary.com, pray before you read, and make sure you go back to the Bible for answers. If you want to hear what we provided for answers, you can go back and check the previous shows at lifeinthepath.org and be a good Berean and check what we said with Scripture. Just because we said it, it certainly does not make it true. In fact, that's a very, very poor premise.
The word donkeys is in the tagline of the show.
Yeah, I mean, we broadcast late at night. We have free internet content. This is not the people we're relying on. Grab the Bible.
It's kind of the bottom Jesus. Of the barrel right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you're scraping.
Yeah.
But hey, that's where the world's come to, though, boys. When we're viable advice givers. Thumbs up. Okay. So anyway, you're listening to Live from the Path. We're on here every Monday night at 10 o'clock for the live show. You can also catch the broadcast on 99.3 KTIA Saturdays at 7 p.m. for you those that, that like to go to bed early. The Saturdays at 7 Wingding show is available for your viewing pleasure. And you can either catch it on the live terrestrial radio on 99.3 KTIA, or they also broadcast on TuneIn. You can go to the, get the TuneIn app, and you can pick it up there. Either you can pick up our podcast, or you can listen to KTIA on TuneIn, and you can
we're
catch
somewhere
it.
Else, too, right? On a Stitcher? We're on the Stitcher
yeah,
radio?
You can catch it on Stitcher.
Where else are we at? Anywhere?
I don't know. Any place that seems like they would accept it.
Yeah.
We tossed out there for free.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. If they take free, some submittable podcasts, that's where we can be found.
I start with two questions. I say, one, do you have low standards? Two, where do I send?
We've only got three rejection letters from discernment.com.
You're listening live from the path. So here's the deal. Like, what if you were to find yourself, Mike, where someone has mistaken you? I mean, when I say someone, I mean hordes of folks have mistaken you for the Pope as a person that gives advice. But the parameters are they're hanging out on your front lawn and they're not going to leave until you give some sort of worldly direction that has some sort of semblance in your own life, something that would have been value to you had someone given you that advice, and you have to give it to them or they won't leave. If you were Pope and people were creeping on your lawn and you had to say something to get them to go away, what advice would you give Pope style?
Here's the thing. Usually when I have Pope style advice, I trump up this big idea, this big concept, right? And for some reason this week, it's applied. I've seen it applied to some other people very close to me, and it's applied to me directly. But like my Pope style advice is tell the truth. That's it. It seems easier said than done. You know what I'm saying? But like, I mean, being honest, not fake honest. Not I think I'll look good if I'm kind of honest. Not you know, I'll be as honest as everyone generally expects because that's kind of part of the job. Just be, I mean, brutal honest. And the reason I thought of it is I was filling out some stuff for our adoption. And they ask you this autobiographical questionnaire, right? And they ask some real personal questions. You know, what struggles have you had? You know, have there been any low points in your marriage? How do you feel that your weaknesses are with raising your children? I'm like, that's none of your business. You know, I just want to adopt a baby, you know? And then I'm like, here's the thing. They didn't ask a non-pointed question. They asked exactly what they wanted to know. And I'm like, I thought of a million ways to flowery right around it that I'm not really answering the question. And then I just answered it honestly, you know. And I mean, I sat there and looked at it for half an hour. I'm like, there's certain things I just don't want you to know, adoption lady that I don't know very well. And then I thought, you know what? The paper's sitting in front of my desk. I love Jesus. Jesus talks truth. That's it. That's all I got, right? And so I answered some questions in a really tough, embarrassing manner. And the whole time I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And then it occurred to me that the only good reason a man has to be completely honest is to bring glory to his father and joy to him. And both of those things happened. I've seen that happen to a couple people very close to me in the last week, and God's walked me through it in a couple situations this week about just being honest and letting God get the glory for the person that you used to be and the evidence of what his grace has done, and then just get rid of that load of crap that you've been carrying around to you. You know what I'm saying? Just dump it. God says be honest and don't carry it. And that's my Pope style advice. Just be honest. It sounds simple. It's not as simple as you think, but once you get to doing it, it's like riding a bike with one of those clown style tires on the back, you know what I'm saying? Like you just start rolling.
Wait, like the bigger than normal tires?
Yeah. Okay. You know, anyway, they're like playing the kazoo and spinning plates. Anyway, once you get rolling down the hill, it starts to get easier.
My relationship with Christ is very much like a giant clown.
Like a clown spinning plates. But an honest clown who makes a good day's living. But that's my Pope style advice. And if you think about it, you've told some lies. even small ones that you could have just not told, that you could have skipped because you were trying to save face or you didn't want to do this or you didn't want this person to get that involved in your business. God, he's a sovereign God. He puts people in your way to set an example of his grace and his love. So do it and just be honest.
I think that sounds like solid advice.
The problem is with that Pope-style advice, there's really no discussion to be had because you can't have a rebuttal. You know what I'm saying? No, I disagree. No,
I think a little white lie once in a while is pretty healthy.
I feel like small lies on occasion are good for everybody.
Yeah, that's true. I bet they don't ever show that on TV, people arguing with the Pope.
But what about this, Pope?
Somebody pass him the microphone with the stick.
I don't know what you're saying.
To speak of.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't speak Italian. Fight me in my own language.
I think people mistake that as a position of weakness when it's a position of strength, right? Like being able to live a life that where you're not carrying your own burdens around. And it's you don't even have to be like a habitual terrible liar, right? Like you could even be like a small time one,
right?
One that gets in the pokey overnight every 3 or 4 years, right? And then gets released because of his lying ways. So you're the small time.
You're the watch liar.
That's,
you know
that's you. That's still you.
You're the street level man.
Yeah. And the thing is like that guy's even worse because he doesn't recognize oftentimes the burden that he's carrying.
Yeah.
Right. It's just part of his life.
Because
right?
He flies under the radar, right? Yeah. Like he doesn't make a big splash. People like to find the guys with big sins and go, "Hey, look what God has done for this man." You know, when I've been sinning just the same amount, I just don't make as big of a splash. I just throw a lot of little rocks.
Everybody catches the guy with Jimmy Hoffa in his basement.
Exactly.
You know? Ha ha! Change your ways.
He needs Jesus, I'm sure of it. Hoffa didn't walk down them stairs.
The problem with lying is I honestly don't have the energy to sit there and track all of my mistruths. You know, and then I got to back it up, and I got to explain, but I meant to say, you know, it's like, you got to tell three more lies to back up the one lie, you know, it's like, I don't have energy for that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll usually do is, like, if I've done this, it's a half. And it's not a half where, like, I've not told the truth with the thing that I said, but what really needed to happen is I needed to provide more detail.
Yeah, and you left things out.
Right, I needed to provide more detail for me to be free of whatever that was. And so the thing I said wasn't a lie, but I did not say the whole thing. Not to hide it necessarily from somebody else, but I kept it for me.
I'd say I've been guilty of that plenty of times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is like that's pernicious. That thing will come after you and it'll dig at you because at some point you're going to come to a position where like you've told that same half story for a very long time. And now you know, you got a mountain of half things that are a giant Jimmy Hoffa in the basement type of deal that only you are carrying around. You're the only one that suffers for that. I hate that. Yep. It's the most foolish thing in the world is to keep on you the thing that only harms you, right? Everyone else would have moved on by now. God moves on by now. You hang, you carry, you burden. And it's dumb.
You're even like trying to avoid conflict, but then the conflict is larger later on. Because like, well, why didn't you just tell me? Well,
it turns out I'm a liar. It turns out I tell lies.
I was trying to avoid this conversation, and here we are.
Anyway, God said that'd fix it, so I'm cool, right? I'm gonna skate.
Carry on.
See you, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's right. Pope style advice. Right. Tell the truth. You know,
I need bumper music for the Pope style advice.
Yeah.
What time of music?
Need some monk music.
Does the Pope travel to tunes?
I think he needs monks.
We need to talk to a Catholic.
No, wait a minute.
I feel like I might misrepresent.
Do you guys
the Pope.
Know any Catholics that we could have on the show?
I just need to know whether the Pope has music that he travels to.
Can you do some monk style harmonic Pope style advice?
Just email your Catholic friends. We're shorthanded on Catholic buddies.
Pants
at the moment.
Knows. Pants. Just put it in the chat, will you? Just let me know if the Pope travels to tunes.
Was that supposed to be a ghost? What was that?
It was some sort of...
A Gregorian chant.
Yeah, there you
go. I feel like it was a monk tenor.
You can get that on Pandora.
It was a bad one, whatever it was.
Speaking of the truth, tell me the truth. When are you guys playing next? out and around, not just in the studio here. But you got some gigs coming up?
This Saturday we are at Bash on the Farm at 1 o'clock on Saturday on the main stage. And then we're also playing at Promised Land Fest. On the 12th of July, on I guess that's Friday at 5:30 on the main stage there.
Now listen here, that should get your Fruit of the Looms tingling because you know that we just had Nathan Grooms in here last week from the Promised Land Music Fest talking about the epic thing that this is going to be, and Now Serving Seven is going to be playing. You said it was Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, Friday down there. That means now here for the previous list was there's softball action. There's possibly a Frisbee Hippie's going to be there.
Yeah,
there could be some guys donating beans. And there could be did I say softball already? Oh, kids, inflatable kids stuff, all kinds of stuff happening. Now, to kind of provide the soundtrack for it all, Now Serving Seven's going to be there. I feel like you don't have any excuse not to go down.
I heard the Pope listens to Now Serving Seven as he travels around.
You go,
that's
some good Pope music right there.
I want to do my Poping. Where's my music? My Poping.
That would actually be pretty sweet if you put that hat on and says, go and get my Pope on. I feel like I can't decide. Here's the thing. If I hold the Pope in high regard, I feel like I'd be being sacrilegious at the moment. But since I don't, I feel like it's not that big of a deal. I don't know. Where are you guys at?
You're only offending half the audience.
Yeah, that's the Catholics are dropping off.
You got a big
off,
Catholic demographic listens tunes into this?
They're all in bed.
Actually, I feel like we might have lost them when we did the remember the things that were said on the Catholic radio to raise money?
Ooh, yeah. We might have listened to Catholic radio for a couple of days and listened to what they were saying to raise money for the station. There were some questionable items on there.
Including, did you have a top 50 list of those?
Yeah, the number one was, if you donated $1,000, you're an apostle. I'm like, that's all it takes? $1,000, I'm in. You know?
What kind of hat do you get?
I'd like to be a double apostle.
Tell me that in shekels.
Peter didn't have to pay.
All right, you made the mistake of listening to Life from the Past.
It's late. You should go to bed.
I can't help your life choices. All right. So here's the deal. Let's. What do we got, Mike?
You want?
We can do another tune, or you want to?
Let's do a tune.
Okay, let's do a tune. Tell me about The World We'll Never Know.
Yeah, The World We'll Never Know. This was a song that was written out of this idea that, man, we do a lot of church stuff. Christians do, and I think what the world is looking for is some movement out of the church. I mean, I think they appreciate the fact that we sometimes do things out there, but most of the time, by and large, we spend a lot of time inside the walls, mm-hmm. and we do our thing, and then we go to work, and nobody knows who we are. And so I wrote this song, and it's called The World We'll Never Know, and it's about, man, if we don't go in the world, then nobody's going to know about Jesus.
All right. You're listening to Now Serving Seven on Live from the Path.
Oh,
going? It's smoking. Smoke. What are you doing over there, Mike?
I need to fix the camera so I can move.
Okay, go ahead and do it.
Right.
I'm going to talk awkwardly until it's done. Mike. All right. Hey, you're listening live. Hey, you're listening live from the Path. That was Now Serving Seven. Is that one on the CD?
That one's on the CD.
Holy cats. It's packed full of hits.
How can we get a free copy?
I brought one for you.
Ooh. Hey. Hey, Bob's awesome.
Here's the deal. All you have to do is invest yourself a minimal amount of equipment and a computer and late at night, and you too can get a free CD.
Seems worth it.
If I wanted to pay legitimate price, what are we talking? 15, 20 bucks? 25.
What is it, 15?
Yeah, at the stores it's 15 bucks. At iTunes, I think it's $9.99.
Well, that's a bargain.
Oh, I think it's a good deal.
That leaves you
basement.
One. Yeah.
Basement bargain stuff.
We had to go really low in the basement to get this great.
Was recorded in the basement, and now we're selling it.
That cellophane prices. Must be expensive.
Yeah, no doubt.
Exactly right.
iTunes it is. All right. Well, cool.
Don't get that cool picture, you know, and the physical stuff that you're going to put on the wall in here and tell everybody, oh, man, these guys are great.
But that's I'm not going to pull a Dan on you and ask you some aside commentary, but we need posters in here, fellas. So if you got a poster.
We got some.
Okay.
We will drive those up to y'all.
Okay, you know what? You will be the fourth band that has promised me posters and come up with nothing.
No, we'll be the first one to deliver.
No, we'll totally send them to you. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We'll totally.
They're in the mail right now.
PDF to you.
You guys broadcast in a closet. I'm not sending you nothing. This is a house.
We're going to get you a yard sign.
There you go. Yard sign? That's acceptable.
You have been listening to Live from the Rental House, or also known as Live from the Path on www.livefromthepath.org, also broadcasting on 99.3 KTIA. I think we got a little bit of time. We're going to try to sneak some advice in. Ben, how you feel about that?
Yeah. I think we can get some in.
Okay. That was my bumper to try to look up the advice.
No, I thought it was great. Hey, while he's looking for that, make sure you go to NowServing7, that's the numeral 7.com, to find out more information about Now Serving 7. You can listen to some of the tunes that are out there. You can like them on Facebook. Hey, if you want to follow them on Facebook, go to Live from the Path on the Facebook page. See what we like, because we like Now Serving 7. You can like them from there and take a peruse around our spot. Because I like to know people are getting used to my Facebook spot.
Yeah.
We appreciate your like.
Dear Life from the Path. Recently, hold on, there's stuff happening. Dear Life from the Path. Recently, my cousin-in-law, Carrie, she's in the quotes, just keep that in mind. Okay. We attended a family party. I was happy to see her because I like her and haven't seen her since my wedding in 2011. Carrie has been going through a difficult time because of her mother's death 2 years ago and her father's remarriage plans. I know people are prone to do odd things when under stress, but this has me concerned. During the evening, I went to retrieve an item from my handbag. Carrie was with me and mentioned she loved my purse and then announced she was stealing it. I realized it wasn't a joke when she dumped the contents of my bag on the kitchen counter in front of several family members. She then handed me $10 and put my purse in her car. I was flabbergasted and didn't know how to react. Although I had mentioned that I bought the bag at a thrift store for less than Carrie gave me, I liked it because it was vintage. I don't think a replacement will easily be found. While I was always excited to see Carrie before, now I'm kind of leery of seeing her again for fear of a repeat of what she did. Am I wrong to feel offended? Do I have any hope of getting my purse back? Here's the deal. You need more than advice. You need what I call some kind of life coach or someone that you pay to make decisions for you. Yeah, it's okay to be offended. She stole your purse. Yeah, that's fine.
I believe that Carrie listened to your Pope-style advice. She told the truth.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal your purse.
I'm going to steal it.
I'm
going to
steal it. That's pretty brutally honest. Yeah. I'm going to steal your purse.
In fact, she was being overly gracious by giving you $10. I felt she told you how it was going to be and then repented and gave you $10.
I feel like there has to be some of the part of the story we're missing. Like, there has to be something she's not saying because they're...
Because she's cartoon character outrageous.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. She's
how
like
do you respond to that?
Dastardly twirled mustache.
That's right. Like, I love this purse. Shake, shake, yeah. Shake. Here's $10 of your own money.
Yeah,
I'm stealing it.
It's like your friend is Wario.
I love a bit of purse. Yeah, I don't know. What's your advice to this lady? Okay, well, hold on. Her questions were: do I have a right to feel offended?
Yes.
I feel like yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Yep.
Now she also asked: do I have any hope of getting my purse back?
No.
There is no hope on that.
She could get 10 at the thrift store.
Yeah.
No, what's wrong with you guys? You fight crazy with crazy. You go over there in a leotard juggling a seal, and you take that purse back. Hey, I'm sealing this, you say. Then you leave the seal, take the purse.
Don't pursue me.
I'd like to go back to go back to the facts of the case here. Does it say specifically that the $10 came from the purse that was stolen, or was the $10 from the purse?
That's a solid point of order.
Okay, it says...
I want to make sure we understand
okay,
this.
It says, I realized it wasn't dope when she dumped the contents of my bag on the kitchen counter in front of several family members, so she wasn't there to witness the dumping. She then handed me $10 and put my purse in her car.
So that's a currently... That fact is in dispute. Where did the $10 come from? Yeah. The origin of the $10, I think, is even more critical.
Now, hold on a second. I guess I'm questioning whether this really matters. Let's say I walked into your house,
hey,
Mike.
Bob says it matters.
Hold on a second.
I think it matters.
Hold on a second. I grab a lamp off your table stand. I say, here's $5, dude. I'm heading out. Like, there's
I'll
still
say, hey, I got more over here if you want them.
There's still something wrong with that. There's still a problem when you just, like, waltz and take
out
people's stuff.
The severity of the offense.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I want to know if it's two counts or one.
Yeah. It doesn't say that she took any of the contents. She dumped them out. So she just wanted the purse. I think she gave her own $10.
It's the difference between a jerk and, like, psychiatric ward. You know what I'm saying? Like, one, you need legitimate help because that's just outrageous. And two, you're just kind of a jerk. I feel like it's if she took the $10, stole the $10 to pay for the stolen purse from the lady, that's psychiatric ward crazy. If she paid with her own $10, that seems, you know, just kind of...
It seems a little off.
Seems
socially, less than ideal.
Socially unacceptable.
So if I would get this straight, you're approving of her worldview that everywhere is a garage sale.
I didn't
sale.
Say approve. I just said it one seems better than the other.
Hey, you know what? Anything I see is subject to sale for whatever price I deem appropriate.
How much you want for this microphone?
Wait. You,
no, you don't
know,
ask
I
how
ask.
Much you want. You just say, hey,
man,
here's $5.
You're not,
I want this
you're
microphone.
Not good at this.
I got like $2.
And that's
I'm
more
taking this microphone.
That's more than we got, man.
Yeah, no, I'll take it. That's insured for $1.50.
See, I told you this works.
Here's Secular's advice. Carrie's behavior was outrageous and may indicate that she has emotional problems that should be addressed. See? Psychiatric. That you would be offended is understandable. That you would be so shocked you didn't immediately object is also understandable.
What? Now, hold on. No, it's not. No, it's not.
I don't know what kind of emotional trauma I have in your purse dumped out on the counter.
I feel like I'd have the wherewithal to say, hey, man, that's my lamp. Please do not walk out of my house with it.
I think it's so outlandish, though. You're sitting there processing going, is this really happening? Is she joking? No, she took that out.
I mean, it's not like she has underwear on her head or is dancing around like a chicken. I mean, she just dumped the purse out. I feel like you can look at that situation and go, hey, wait a minute. I feel like what you're doing isn't right.
Yeah.
You know? How shocking is it?
You're right. I just... I'm trying to think of that. That would mean that position. I would probably sit there the whole, as well. Go, like, did that
now,
just happen?
Now here's what I might do. Reasonably, for that amount of money and that kind of item, I might just let it go, just because that's a classic story.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get some legs.
Yeah.
That's the $10 story at least to tell that for the rest
of
your days.
If it's a $200 purse, I think you tackle her and beat her up and take it back. But
yeah, tickle her at least.
Yeah, tickle her. Yeah, that's what Jesus would do.
Hey, you.
You got time for one more, Ben?
No, hold on a minute. Hold on. No. No, I most certainly do not.
Okay, hold on. Wait, we'll have more on the bonus content.
Hey, you're listening to Live from the Path. A big thank you to Now Serving 7 for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, I think.
Are we supposed to say anything? Should we say anything?
We have some prepared
remarks.
Someone
start the car. Time to go.
Don't admit you were here. Hey, so here's what we're going to do. If you're listening on 99.3 KTA, I got to let you go because we only can afford so much time. And so we're going to cut you loose. For you guys that are on the podcast,
we pay for your attention.
You can hang out. We'll have a little bit more show coming through you with some more advice on Dear Life from the Path. You guys have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Okay, we're back.
Dear Life from the Path, I've been dating Wayne for about a year.
Uh-oh.
Everything is wonderful, but my problem is he is stingy when it comes to issuing a compliment. I'll get dressed up, move my makeup and my hair and the whole thing, and ask him what he thinks. And he's like, it's okay, you always look beautiful to me, so you don't have to dress up. He's a real Clark Gable, this one. Pretty smooth, Wayne. Maybe I shouldn't complain about this, but sometimes I feel Wayne would say I look good if I were sick and vomiting into a toilet. Man, not with that kind of language. Maybe Wayne's right. You should clean yourself up. It's not like I want him to say I look awful. I just want more of a response than what I'm getting. Any ideas on how to approach this? Always beautiful in Minnesota.
You know, here's the deal. Is count yourself fortunate that you have a man that finds you appealing all the time.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
No.
Yo, you can't.
No.
No, here's the deal. Because you come off as disingenuous.
But you're not.
I'm going to tell you a true story. here's what happened. And my wife stopped listening to the show, so we're clear. I don't know how many of you know ladies, but sometimes they put on a little weight or lose a little weight, right? I do not recognize any of these fluctuations at all, and to any degree. Either gain or lose, I don't notice. I don't know why. It's terrible, I guess. But, like, here's what she wants. She wants me to notice a change because that means I've been paying attention to her in a detail-oriented way. I think that I'm doing all right because, really, I just see the beautiful young woman that I married, and that's all I care about, right? No, that's a lie. The truth of the matter is I ain't paying attention to my wife. I should notice those things. And so there should be distinct differences that she's putting time and effort into that I should be able to notice as a loving and attentive husband. I feel like Wayne should be able to come up with something better than, you always look beautiful. Just say, you look really nice when you wear that green shirt.
Okay, so hold on a second. But you're not asking him necessarily to be disingenuous.
No.
But you're saying is to point out details. Does this sound like legitimate advice?
Martha, where are you at on this thing? This is more of a lady question. Please don't hit Martha. She's the only one we have.
Right. No, I think you're right. I think men need to, say compliments and notice, and
so it's okay to provide the detail. I guess I'm concerned for Wayne because, like, I feel like you're putting him in an odd position where he just doesn't he doesn't have the vocabulary to be like va-voom, you know, like,
no, now wait a minute.
He needs to engage more in the relationship.
Why is he all of a sudden a third grade graduate? He doesn't have the vocabulary to say, hey, you be looking nice. I like a tan pants. but I mean, he can do better okay.
But maybe he doesn't actually care at all about tan pants.
Well, he should do better than he cares about his wife's feelings.
Hold on a second. Hey, I don't care either way whether you wear tan pants. Do better. Like, what kind of advice is that?
Okay. But you're saying that there's nothing his wife can do for him to notice, like, anything specific at all.
I'm saying that, like, it seems a little unfair that Wayne has to change himself to have to, like or dislike something that he doesn't actually care about.
You chauvinist boy. Yeah, it'd be terrible to have Wayne change himself in his manliness.
He has to develop an unnatural preference for tan pants.
I am who I am, Lord. Leave me be.
I think that's part of the Ephesians 5 idea of knowing your wife, your spouse. Specifically with guys, we tend to not worry about the details like that. We tend to be like, yeah, well, I love you. You know, I'll let you know if it changes or something. But really, we need to know them and pay attention to them. And that's just a matter of letting her know you're engaged in what's happening. You may not care at all. She just wants to know, hey, wow, I see.
Yeah, so just pay attention and pick out some details.
You can only say it when they lose, though. It doesn't work well. You say, yes, you're kind of beefing up there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
They don't like
you're
that.
Beefing up. Yeah, mistake.
Well, that is generally not advised.
Those tan pants are barely holding on.
I'm assuming you need a bigger size pants. Should we go shopping?
Have yourself another brownie, Tonka.
I didn't see that going. These are
you
all
must
mistakes.
Be under a lot of stress. Here's more chocolate.
Well, okay, so hold on. I'm trying to figure out what we're telling Wayne to say.
Okay.
So he's generally saying, I think you look beautiful all the time. Does it solve his problem to go, hey, you look really beautiful in those tan pants today? Is that good or no? No, that's not good.
What if we're not saying
that's
that.
Good?
Oh, it's good.
Okay.
It's
good. That's going to work.
You noticed. Noticed she was wearing
tan pants. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's like the distinction here is like, he has to show that he's noticing what's going on, not necessarily have to, like, the way that she asked the question made it sound like, you know, I basically want to find something that gets his clock running, right? But, like, if his clock is always running, I feel like, you know, he shouldn't have to develop a like of something, of high boots or something.
Now, here's the deal, but he's being disingenuous. If there's nothing, you know, there has to be something that, like, you know, that your lady or your wife, you know, like when they look a certain way, it's just not as appealing. So you don't have to mention that part. You just mention the part that is appealing.
Well, hold on a second. What if he likes everyday wife but wife likes – she likes to gussy up because she thinks she's doing something for Wayne, but Wayne really likes everyday wife.
Now he's in a pickle. I feel Wayne's pain there. I'm actually that way with my wife. I'm a t-shirt and jeans. The lady looks nice, looks hot in that action. And then he puts the dress on. I'm like, you know, I like the t-shirt and jeans action. That's me. But I say that. I feel that's honest. At least I noticed that you changed your clothes. Right?
See, I think, like, in that situation that our friend Wayne would be in trouble because
if you do like the t-shirt and jeans, and then she does put on the dress, and then you say, oh, I kind of like the t-shirt and jeans, now you're, you are in trouble now.
Yeah, you didn't follow the pattern.
She has some pretty high expectations. She needs to kind of lower her expectations, at the same time communicate the desire for him to notice. I mean, it's kind of a meet in the middle type of thing.
Maybe if he just made random comments like, hey, change your shoes. Love it.
So he just needs to drop the always part.
Yeah.
And act like the compliment is, he needs to tell a half truth, basically.
No. He needs to be brutally honest. Those boots look like you killed a possum. I think they're a mistake. Tell him, Wayne. Okay, we better get secular.
What is the secular advice?
The secular advice is, yes, approach your boyfriend directly. Tell him there's...
Wait a minute, hold on, it's not a husband?
No, no, it's a boyfriend.
Dan, where were you at?
Yeah, Dan.
Were they living together?
It doesn't say.
I go, okay, because I didn't... it's usually pretty big radar. I catch that, and then I have to tell him.
No, it just says dating.
Yeah, okay.
No, it doesn't say anything about living together.
Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Well, first of all... If she's dating the guy and he is not meeting that basic need she has, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
If he's not listening to the fact that she wants that and he's still ignoring it, she'd say, here's the deal. I need this. And if he says doesn't do it, there's
I assumed
guy.
He was 65 or something.
No. Wayne's a young man. His parents named him old.
He's too busy playing video games.
Now, Dan, that's a broad stretch. Here's the deal,
I think
though.
That's the problem.
Wayne is supposed to be on his best behavior. This is the courting phase. And if this is the best that Wayne has to offer, I wouldn't expect
that
a solid
a really
golden
good
years.
Point.
Yeah, well, I think Wayne's going to have to put down some more effort than this. I mean,
because it only goes downhill after dating. Because then you're on the hunt, you get what you're after, then you're like, you relax.
Stuff happens.
You start tripping waitresses, and then
all of a sudden you're stabbing a waiter with a fork, and you're embarrassing everybody. It says,
I got married. I don't have to control my behavior.
Secular's advice is, yes, approach your boyfriend directly. Tell him there's something you need from him that you're not getting, and that is acknowledgement when you make a special effort. Explain that while you're complimented, complimented that he thinks you're always beautiful, you feel let down by his reaction. If he cares about your feelings, he may be a little more generous.
Oh, that is not going to work. That's not going to work. Tell her when she is when she's putting in special effort.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I see that you put in special effort today.
Fail.
I think she's looking for something a little more genuine. I'm not sure.
Hold on a minute. What was I supposed to say here? You. All right. I feel like that's not good advice.
No, it's not.
I kind of like the kick Wayne to the curb deal.
Yeah. I feel like it's time for Wayne to go.
That's fair.
I got one more, I think.
Okay.
Let me find it. Oh, boy. Yeah, okay. Dear Life from the Path, my wife of 37 years is calling out another man's name and moving her lips in her sleep.
Oh.
I don't recognize the name, and I believe it might be someone she works with. Should I be concerned? I've said some weird stuff when I'm sleeping, boys. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I think the key word is when she's sleeping. So that was good to hear.
Yeah,
because it could have been other awkward times. That
I think it's
probably not good
for sleep time only.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard your significant other talking in their sleep, saying weird, funky things? Like, blah, 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 carousel.
Not that you can distinguish. You
I
say,
love blah, 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 blah,
blah. No.
That's because you guys sleep like logs.
Heck yeah, I don't be wake up for nothing.
Man.
It's less a pizza man. I can hear him walk up.
I think you have the
he's distinct.
I think you have the conversation. So who is Bill, honey?
You're like, Bill, how do you know about Bill? Oh.
Wait, no, do you dangle it a little bit?
I don't know.
He called here.
No, that's a lie, man. You can't tell no lies.
He had tan pants on. I know all.
I know all
he
there
put
is
forth
to know.
A special effort.
He showed up with half a compliment. And Corbell.
I would just straight. It seems like you just ask.
Yeah, here's the thing. And it boils down to this a lot in these advice columns. If you would just go to the direct route and ask a question instead of trying to. Well, I mean, what kind of trap are you going to set? Like Ben is saying, you're going to set up some kind of sting operation on your wife. You know, it's ridiculous.
Be a very stressful situation.
Yeah, well,
she's been trying to tell you, but you won't listen. So
exactly.
She's processing it.
Maybe he's a jerk.
Maybe Bill's the territory manager coming in from Chicago, and she's got a big presentation. And she's like, I never need to talk to you about my presentation. You're like, you know what? You could have put more effort into the pants today. I'm going to go play Xbox. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe she just wants some conversation, and you refuse to have it.
I don't know how you turn this guy into a jerk.
He
heard, hold on a second. The premise of the question is he heard his wife say another man's name, and he's an insensitive jerk that plays. He's got to be like 16 years old playing Xbox, ignoring his wife's problems.
And helping her process. She wouldn't have to do it at
this
night.
This is outrageous.
I got it pegged. I know him. I know all this kind. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, because games still do that.
$5 for, timer. $5 for Ultra Shield. Definitely, definitely.
I can pay real money and level up.
I got a smart bomb.
I don't know what
they have Angry Birds in the desert. This is the best day of my life. Secular's advice is, you should be curious, but sleep talking is not necessarily indicative of romance. If you haven't already, ask her who the man of her dreams is. She could be mumbling the name of an old boyfriend from high school or that of a beloved pet from childhood.
Honey, Bill.
Who's Whiskers?
I love your fur.
Yeah, that's pretty plausible there. That's most likely what it is.
Would you like some little friskies?
I demand to know who Whiskers is immediately. He won't sell in my house.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Life from the Pet. A pet from childhood?
I don't know. People are grasping at straws.
Her job is to provide advice. I don't like that. Just seems way out of left field. All right. You're listening to Life in the Path. Hey, big thank you, second time for you internet customers, for now serving seven. Thanks a lot for coming in, guys. Really appreciate it. It sounded awesome. Make sure you pick up the album. You can get it on iTunes, Amazon. Hey, here's the deal. Buy it from there, or it's free on the Spotify. That's where I'm going to do it, because I like free tunes. I just yelled at a kid this morning for having downloaded stuff illegally, so I had to move to the free tunes route until I replenish my treasure chest. But you can go to nowserving7.com, and that'll take you to a website where you can listen to the tunes. And here's the deal. You buy the CD, you can take it wherever you go.
Exactly.
Unless you have one of those fancy vehicles where you can kind of plug your phone in, and you can do the Spotify.
Yeah!
You can catch them at Bash on the Farm, the Promised Land Fest. Both are going to be awesome. And you should take your family and anybody who have room in the neighborhood out to those things. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.